This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show, this half hour, brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities. For both athletes and businesses, visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey today. Okay, so Kansas loses to Gonzaga. So, asked a question in the press conference about next season, Bill Self says, "I've been thinking about that, you know, for the past month." Oh, he threw his team under the bus. Oh, what the heck is wrong with everybody? I watch commentators on TV. Jay Billis gets it. He had it in the right context. But like, you know, Jay Williams, whom you know I like. I like Jay. You got to just be around Jay for 5 minutes, which obviously I have. Or like him, respect him, the whole thing. But like, throwing people under the bus. What do you think? I think people have this image of, just, okay, we're locked in the game. We're locked in the game. We're locked in the game. That's all we do. We got the game. Just slow down. There's 24 hours in a day. Okay? You have 7 days in a week. There's always a bye day. So say the coach goes out and say the off day is Monday for the players. And he goes out recruiting. Is he throwing the current program under the bus? Or is he thinking about the future? As a fan, you'd be mad if he didn't go out and recruit on Monday. He should be recruiting too. I mean, James Franklin ends the regular season. He's trying to keep his team together, re-recruit them. He's trying to take care of the players that are verbally committed so he can then sign him. And he visits all of them. Oh, and by the way, they got to look at the transfer portal. Oh, and he has to get ready for a game at the end of the month. In the process of, you spend the entire season not just coaching your team and coaching game by game and coaching practice every day. You're also in the process of re-recruiting those players every day through personal relationships and so forth. You also get a read as to who fits and who doesn't. So you don't just get eliminated by Gonzaga and go, well, I guess we got to start thinking about next year now. You've been thinking about next year, right, in your spare time, almost all year. Because you're out there and you see somebody making progress, somebody not making progress, somebody that might not be happy, somebody that might be a cancer in your locker room, somebody that's a real positive in your locker room, somebody you need to keep, somebody you need to keep re-recruiting, somebody you need to be positive with. They may not be going well, but you see the progress they're making. And you're trying to make sure they understand where they fit and what you're doing in the future. You're doing that all the time. Okay? He's not going to have Hunter Dickinson back, so what is he going to do? Does he go out and get himself an established big man to replace him? You don't just start thinking about that 2 hours after the Gonzaga loss. Of course, he's been thinking about it for the past month. Where's the common sense here? The same people that would get mad at you for not going out on the Monday night on the off day and recruiting a high school basketball game, you got to be thinking about next year all the time, gets mad at him when he says, yeah, I've been thinking about it for the past month, like he hasn't been concentrating on the season. Of course he's concentrating on the season, right? But you have to have some time to go, hey, guys, let's sit down, big picture here. Where are we right now? Let's think about what we have to do. Like, you know, like Mike Rhodes. Mike and I have talked about this. Mike has told me, he says, moving forward, he says, Steve, we got to have some big wings. We have to get bigger wings in this league. And he knows because I've talked to him about bigger wings in the league before in private conversations. We've talked about it. All right? Well, Mike talking to me about that and me talking to him about that, just going back and forth, is that him bagging the current team? Or is that like, okay, I've gone looked at practice and we played some games and the whole thing. All right, we need to have, you know, bigger wings of a problem in this league. Well, okay, what's wrong with thinking that? It's not throwing the current team under the bus. You work with what you have. At the same time, you're always planning ahead. Why is it that it's okay for football to bring in 2026 and 2027 recruits to spring football practice and everybody applauds it and nobody says James Franklin isn't paying enough attention to this team because all he's doing is looking ahead? What's the difference? There isn't any. Golly, we just don't have enough people in this business that have common sense. They just want clicks. I want clicks. I want clicks. Well, guess what? I didn't click on you because I thought, you know, okay, I didn't think it was worth reading you. That's not good either.
The other part of that is, other than Kevin McClure Jr., the only one that probably knew how actually injured he was Bill Self. So
sure.
He knew what his chances were coming into this weekend probably were.
Sure. Right? But like he says, yeah, I've been thinking about that for the past month. Well, gee whiz, for the sake of the program, I hope you were. I mean, I'm seriously, because you're trying, again, you have to replenish your roster in the offseason. You don't flip the switch after the last game and say, okay, what do we need to do? I mean, what do you need to do? Okay, in the early signing period, Kansas signed, I don't know how many they signed, but they signed players in the early signing period. He wasn't looking ahead to the future of Kansas basketball then. And by the way, the season had already started when he signed them. He'd gone through preseason and I think at least one game, maybe two at that point. What's the difference between doing that and doing this?
Honestly,
nothing.
I was going to say, my thought when you were talking about Kale being a forward thinker when you were talking about it is, it's funny, Bill Self caught flack for that this weekend for being a forward thinker.
Right. I mean, you can lock in on your team. You can lock in on your personnel. How do we get around Dickinson and McCullers being out? Okay, now we got Dickinson back. How do we work around? You don't think they were doing that full-time? Of course they were doing that full-time. But you also have to have some point with your staff. You sit down and go, hey, look, let's take a realistic assessment. We've looked at this year's team, right? Looking forward, what do we think? Guys, give me a read. What do you think about what we have and what we don't have? He wouldn't be doing his job if he didn't do that. I mean, that's why you have people recruiting ahead of time like this. You don't just go out and go, okay, I'm going to recruit. I need two guards. You already go to the AAU tournament and know really is in essence who you're looking at, and you might get surprised by somebody else. But yeah, you're always trying to, you always have to take care of, right, your current team. You also have, in this atmosphere, had to re-recruit your current team while also looking and keeping being vigilant about what you're going to need to compete next year and the year after. That's your job. What, he said it? I sat there and went, what is the issue here? I don't get that. I don't get that. So I don't get the take on it. He threw his current team under the bus. He didn't throw his current team under the bus. My goodness. I mean, look, the days of Joe Gibbs sleeping in his office, which was asinine, okay? No offense, it was. What are you going to learn sleeping in your office that you can't go home? I mean, really? What do you got? Like, oh God, I worked till 2 a.m. I slept in the office till 6. What the heck? Come on.
I mean, we had one of the most type A coaches you would ever meet on our show Friday, and say that was probably one of the bigger mistakes of his career.
Sure, exactly. Right? And that, I'm just saying that you have to have something out there that, again, there's 24 hours in a day. I think people think if you're not locked in every minute of the 24 hours, oh, you're not doing your job. Just back down. Okay? There's only X amount of time you can spend with your team. This, okay? You're allowed 20 hours a week. Okay? Right? You're also allowed time to, oh, by the way, go to your son's Little League game. Okay? You're also allowed at some point in life to have a staff meeting, and in the staff meeting say, okay, once we're done with the prep for this game, hey, guys, we need to take a little time. Where do you think we stand right now, and where are we? Let's get an update. How are the three kids we signed and how they're doing right now? Okay, do I need to go see them? Are you going to go see them? We're going to stay, you know, because you have to stay in contact. You signed them. You still stay in contact with them the whole time. Right? That's not looking to the future. Right? Hey, we have to start, Leah. We have to make sure, okay, what do you think we need based on who we recruited, who we might lose, what positions do we need to be looking at in the transfer portal? That way, when it opens up, we know which direction we want to go in based on the kind of player that we have. Do we have enough tape on everybody? Because that's your job. No, he threw his current team under the bus. He didn't throw his current team under the bus. But they weren't good enough. Okay? I hear stuff like that, and I'm thinking, where are we going as a media? Come on. I mean, it's okay to have questions.
Is the theory that they lost by 21 points because he was sitting there thinking about next year during that game? I don't know what the... Gonzaga was just better Saturday.
That's because Gonzaga's really good.
Yeah.
Gonzaga played a tough non-conference schedule. They had some guys that were hurt. They had a couple of transfers that they had to meld together. Okay. And now they've come together at just the right time. They're playing really well. And Kansas is a team that really spent the last 2.5 months being an up-and-down team. The addition of Houston into the conference certainly was a big one. I mean, they're a number one seed. And it just turned out that Kansas was a good basketball team this year. They weren't a great team. It's just the way it played out. And you know what? When I watched them play last year, because, you know, I mean, I sat courtside right there when they lost to Arkansas. You know what really struck me about Kansas? Kansas has good athletes. And obviously they didn't have Dickinson last year, but you know, I've seen a few hundred Dickinson games in my career for obvious reasons in person. But they have a lot of good athletes on that team. But they don't have any great athletes on that team. Arkansas, that team they had last year, my goodness, Todd, the athleticism Arkansas brought to the table. Kansas had trouble keeping up with their athletes. Kansas was a highly skilled team, right? Grady Dick, outstanding shooter. You watch him shoot the ball. He really can shoot it. Dewan Harris, really good player. But he's not a tremendous athlete playing guard. He's a good athlete playing guard. And if they get into games where they're playing great athletes, they've got a problem. Jamal Shedd's a problem for him. Because Shedd's really athletic and is really smart out there. And that's just like I walked away after, because I had never seen Kansas play before in person. So finally, last year's tournament, because it just turned out by happenstance, even though Penn State, you know, because they do pods, right? They weren't in the same bracket as Penn State. Texas and Colgate were, right? But they were on the other side. Arkansas played Illinois, and Howard played Kansas, and then Kansas played Arkansas. So I finally, like, firsthand got to watch the current group of Kansas players play. Okay? They have a lot of very good athletes, but they don't have any great athletes. you would not sit there and say, boy, Kansas is an incredibly athletic team. You'd like, they're good at it. In terms of their athleticism, they're good. They have good athletes, but they don't have great or exceptional athletes. Arkansas did last year. You're like, holy mackerel. Now, you watch Illinois play, Illinois's got athletes. Illinois is as athletic a team as there is. Okay, the one issue they're going to have moving forward, and it's going to get them at some point, is the fact they don't have a natural point guard. They don't have a true point guard. Damask is playing point guard. I give him credit because he's done a heck of a job in that spot. You know, but Sky Clark was supposed to be the point guard, and then everything got botched up last year, and he's no longer with the program.
I laughed because in my head, because when you talked about big wings, I was just wondering if it was coming, if that conversation was before or after one of the Illinois games.
Well, no, that's a conversation we had all yeah. season long. We talked about that, how important it is in this league. You do have to have a good big man in this league. There's no question about that. And you have to have big wings that play in this league, that are good athletes, but also can go in and bang when you need it. You look at Houston. Houston has big wings. All right. And give Houston credit. They fouled four guys out last night. Still won. It's the first time that's happened since 1987 when UTEP did it. All right. But I heard that and went, I don't get what the criticism is. Every coach is thinking about, right, the present with an eye to the future all the time because they have to keep going somehow. What, just because he said it out loud? It's always love when you, hey, the early signing period, what a great job. In other words, like Bill Self didn't concentrate in the preseason because he was trying to sign his recruiting class. They're all trying to sign a recruiting class. Oh, boy. All right. We'll take a break. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn what they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
All right, great to have you with us on the show today, brought to you by this half hour by NIL Game Changers, ultimate destination name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes, businesses, and even a guy that loves bowling. Oh, wait a minute. Is that somebody in the building? No. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey today. The team that is really seated out there is NC State, but they're the ACC champ. But look what the ACC did. I mean, the ACC ended up with North Carolina, Duke, and NC State. All right? The triangle's all in. Right? The one that's out is Virginia. You know, they went out quietly in the night in the first four. The Big East is undefeated. The Mountain West ended up with San Diego State, 1. A lot of people wondered why they were 6 in there. Well, they ended up with 1 getting this far. The Big Ten has 2, but it's the 2 you expected. You expected Purdue and Illinois to be the 2 that would get through. I mean, just based on seeding, and this turned out that for the most part, you had 12 of the top 16 seeds make it. Well, who else in the Big Ten was a four seed? Nobody. So I have people, well, it wasn't a great year. We told you it was a good, not a great year in the Big Ten. We told you that all season long. And it turned out when they got in, they got six in the tournament, but only two of them were in the top four seeds or the top 16 overall. It turned out it was Illinois and Purdue. And guess what? They held their seeds, and they're in the Sweet 16. Okay. I mean, the ACC, you know, Duke was a top four seed. North Carolina was a number one seed. Right? And NC State's the outlier. Okay. Yeah. I mean, Marquette's a two. UConn's a one. Creighton's a three. Okay. They all held their seed. Let's not pretend it's like, oh, look, the Big East is 6-0. Well, based on the seeds, they should have been 6-0. Right? Based on the seeds, Illinois and Purdue should be combined 4-0. They are. Okay. Right? I mean, seriously, I mean, based on the seeds, that's actually what they should be.
I think Joe was right. Joe Lunardi was right last week when he said they pretty much, he thought that they got it right for the most part, and turns out, looks like they did.
Right. I mean, now, can you make an argument because after watching the Virginia performance? Yeah. But everybody questioned, we questioned Virginia the week before the selections, remember? And we questioned when they got selected. And to their credit, they confirmed our suspicions.
I was going to say, and we talked about it after they were selected and lost.
Right, so this wasn't a 2020 hindsight thing. We were talking about it a week ahead of time. Like, I don't understand why I keep seeing that they're in.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour of the show is brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverages supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, my two favorites, indeed second to none, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Okay. Very quickly, the NFL, hip drop tackle being banned. There's also going to be a change to the challenge rule. They're trying to protect the club's ability to challenge a third ruling following one successful challenge. So if you have one, the way the rule was is you had to have both of them be correct, you could get a third. But if you have now one correct, you're going to be allowed a third. Okay? So if you win at least one or both of your challenges, you're going to get a third. A fourth challenge is not going to be permitted. But, you know, you're not really using a lot of challenges during the game now, because turnovers are automatic, touchdown scoring plays are automatic. There's certain things that are automatic, so you don't have to use them as often, but you still want to have it. The hip drop tackle. It is a foul if a player uses the following technique to bring a runner to the ground. Grab the runner with both hands or wraps the runner with both arms and unweights himself by swiveling and dropping his hips and or body, landing on or trapping the runner's legs at or below the knee. Okay. It would be unnecessary roughness. It's a 15-yard penalty and an automatic first down. So that's what they've done there. Double foul with change of possession. If the team last in possession does not have clean hands when it establishes possession, the penalty is offset. The down is replayed at the previous spot. Clean hands, meaning no infringements. Okay. There are a whole bunch that weren't approved. Philadelphia wanted to eliminate the first touch spot after the receiving team possesses the ball. Not approved. You know, another Philadelphia gripe. All the Eagles do is complain. To permit a team to maintain possession of the ball with one offensive play instead of an onside kick. Gone. No. Indianapolis wanted to permit a coach or replay official inside of 2 minutes to challenge any foul that's been called. The Colts ended up withdrawing it. Let's see. They want to include a ruling of a passer down by contact or out of bounds before throwing a pass as a reviewable play, not reviewed or not approved. The league wanted to allow a review when it is clear and obvious visual evidence that the game clock expired before any snap, not approved. And they were also looking to expand the crackback prohibition to players who go in motion and not move beyond the center to block a defender or blow the way, not approved. And, let's see, they tabled one, too.
I think they tabled, I think they're going to...
The free kick play.
Yeah, I think they're going to talk about it more tomorrow. They left openings to meet again tomorrow, I think I saw.
To resemble a typical scrimmage play by aligning players on both teams closer together, restricting movement to reduce space and speed, to promote more returns, and permits the replay official automatically to review whether a free kick legally touched the ground or the receiving team in the landing zone. All right, so we're going to look at that. I don't know why they want to promote more returns. Here's the reason why. More returns are high speed, and I think you get concerned about injuries and, you know, I think you get concerned about concussions, so I don't know why you want more returns.
Well, I think the rule last year took a lot of the returns out of the game, and this is more the original XFL rule from the early 2000s, I think it was, when they tried this.
Everybody rushed toward the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why we keep messing with football. I get the safety part of it, but
the safety part, I'm fine with it. I have no problem with any rules put in on safety because you're trying to save the sport, which is always under assault by those who are saying that that's too violent, to this, to that. So if anything is making it safer, I'm all for that.
I watched the video they showed them on what hip drop tackles are. Looks like a lot of tackles to me. I don't know how this is going to be a hard one to enforce, at least the first couple weeks of the season.
To me it's the one you pick the guy up and throw him down. I mean that's like, I think that's what they're trying to get.
That is not one play they showed in that thing. When you watch that video, it's literally tackles.
I know, of course not.
From behind.
Just, like, stop it, you know. Well,
they put all these safety rules in the NFL, and, you know, I think they just took the crackback block out of high school football within the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could do all that stuff up until the NFL.
Right, exactly. We talked about Kyle Smith. He leaves Washington State, takes the Stanford job. So he goes from what would have been the WCC, which is where they're going next year, to the ACC. Miraculously, Washington went out and hired a coach without an athletic director. Danny Sprinkle leaves Utah State. and takes the Washington job. So obviously that affects Penn State. And I think those are the big ones so far. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else that was a... Oh, the Vanderbilt job. Took the Vanderbilt job. Oh, I know. Byington, who left James Madison, took the Vanderbilt job. Like, okay. The tournament ends up with 12 of the top 16 teams. All the ones and twos advance. Only the fifth time ever that has happened. It's the third time in the last 15 years it's happened where all the ones and twos advance in the same year. And I think that there's just enough. I mean, and all the and so many of the games were so not every game, but so many of the games were exciting. Texas A&M loses in overtime. Wow. Creighton and Colorado was a tremendous game. The games, I mean, the games in Pittsburgh were overtime games. So that's how close all these matchups are. They're just, I mean, close. Just not every game's a close game. You know, Baylor's a 3 seed. They're out. Clemson beat them by 8. Took control early. At one point, Grand Canyon's winning over Alabama. Grand Canyon plays too much like one-on-one basketball, and there's like you can't tell what the heck their scheme is. You really can't. UConn did not play well yesterday, and they caught a huge break. I mean, to be honest with you, you know it's. I pointed this out last week, but, you know, remains the same. And that is Northwestern's playing without two of their starters. They're only playing with 60% of their starting lineup. I mean, suddenly Blake Preston's out there playing. Yeah, I'm trying to think. He may have seen like 2 minutes against Penn State in the two games. That's it. But he has to play now because Nicholson's out. He has to play. Okay. Right, you got 4 points. I mean, Smith, you know, when they lost Ty Berry, Smith had to play more. I give the guy credit. I mean, he wasn't playing at all. Right? He wasn't playing at all. And he's out there trying to go up against Newton, who's one of the better point guards in the country. And Newton had 20 points and 10 assists yesterday. And, you know, of course, you know, Cam Spencer, whose brother, by the way, played at Northwestern. All right. Cam Spencer, they transferred shooting guard, hits the threes. He gets 11, clinging at 14 with 14 boards. Well, I mean, you have to have a game. It's hard to win 6 in a row with really good competition game in and game out. And UConn got away with one yesterday where they really didn't play well, but they played against a depleted team that they were able to get past. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes that happens.
Speaking of dumb things pundits say, did you see Mike Greenberg said this morning that he thought UConn was good enough to get an Eastern Conference playoff berth in the NBA?
Oh, God.
Somebody said, I don't think they have anybody that will start in the NBA next year, let alone win a playoff spot.
Exactly. Exactly. See, that's... I mean, when you're looking at Purdue, for example, the National Player of the Year is going to be Zach Edey. He will win the Naismith Award. He will win the Wooden Award. He'll win it. I'd be shocked if he didn't. But NBA draft boards don't even list him. It's just a different game, a different level, and whomever said that to Greeny is absolutely right. Like, which UConn player is playing in the NBA? I mean, Sonogo last year was the MOP of the tournament, right?
Yeah.
Where is he right now?
I don't know.
I mean, you sit back like, where is he? Nobody knows. Okay. And the MOP. Now, he is with, to his credit, the Chicago Bulls, but he's on a two-way contract like Andrew Funk. That's where he is. Okay? So in case you're wondering, the MOP of last year, okay, most outstanding player in the Final Four, did not get drafted, and is on a two-way contract with the Chicago Bulls, just like Andrew Funk of Bucknell and Penn State. Okay. Hey, at least he's in there. Two-way contract. He's making some coin. I mean, he's making some coin on a two-way contract. Yeah, not a ton, but he's making some, right?
I mean, that's how you end up with a 12-year NBA career without being a starter. Is you usually have to start out that way.
Right, and that's what he's doing. I mean, he didn't make his debut in the NBA till after Christmas, but he's played some. Yeah. Maybe not a ton, maybe not a lot, but he's played some. I mean, so far this year, you know how many NBA games Adama Sanogo's played?
Four.
Yep. He's played four games. Everything else has been in the G League with the Windy City team. I'm going to guess the Windy City team. I'm going to guess that they play at... if I were to guess Rosemont, I'm guessing. I might be wrong about that.
I guess that means he's teammates with Andrew now, isn't he?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. He's got on a two-way contract like Andrew Funk is. All right? Where the Windy City? The Windy City Bulls do not play at Rosemont. They play at beautiful Hoffman Estates, which is where they had the Big Ten women's tournament one year, and everybody hated it. What we got?
I was going to say, I guess that's why it was one year.
They played one year there. One year. And Andrew Funk has played one fewer game than Sanogo in the NBA. Played a minute against the Clippers. But you know what? They're in the league. Okay, but that's the state of this league. That's what it is. How could the MOP of the Final Four, who was so great last year, not get drafted? Well, that's just, okay, the league is looking for certain types of players. And some of them happen to be European. You only have two rounds. There's only, you know, last year, because of whatever penalties, there were, 58 guys drafted? That's why I give Trace Jackson Davis credit. He was the last guy picked in the draft. He's with the Warriors, and he's not on a two-way contract either. He's with the Warriors. So, all right, we'll take a break. We'll wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
See the suit move to this as he's walking down the hallway. Just makes you want to go back to the parking lot. All right. This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers. Water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar. Led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right. So this is the lull. By the way, it looks like Penn State's going to add Florida International to schedule in 2025. They had one spot open. So they're added in.
I'm assuming that's at Beaver Stadium and you don't get to go to Miami.
No, it's okay. I'd prefer to stay at Beaver Stadium. I'm fine about that. Interesting, Mario Cristobal is now the head coach of Miami. His first game as a head coach. As a head coach. Was in Beaver Stadium as the head coach of FIU. Just a side note. It doesn't really matter about anything. But you know.
I will bet that'll be in the game notes that day, though.
Probably. Probably. Florida International. I actually have been on their campus. We had to go over there and do something when I was down in Miami for basketball once. And we had to go over to their campus. So I've actually been on the Florida International campus. What was memorable about it? You look like the rest of Southern Florida. I didn't sit there and go, wow, look at the architecture. Woo. No. So.
You remembered enough that you were there, at least, right?
Yes. No, yeah. No, I remember being there. I know why I was there, too.
Just not much about the campus.
Right. And so. But big weekend for Penn State. By the way, Penn State women's lacrosse team beat number one ranked Northwestern on Friday, 14-13. Men's lacrosse team won at Ohio State. I think it was 12-9, I think. Baseball team won the opener in dramatic fashion over Michigan Friday night. The softball team swept Indiana for the weekend. The Lady Lion basketball team plays in round two of the WBIT tonight at 6 in the Jordan Center. They won the opener in overtime over George Mason 84-80 last week. And the wrestling team, please, people, do not take for granted what you're watching. It's special. Incredibly, incredibly special. Don't ever take it for granted. Neil Kulong joins us tomorrow.